The song says, time is filled with swift transition, not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand. I want to read to you today about two men that did some building in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus said, Luke 6 and 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Two men that were builders. Both men built a house. Both men experienced the storms of life. The flood came. The stream came and beat vehemently against the house. But these two men made two very different decisions in how they went building. Both men experienced the same types of storms in life. And in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happens to all of us. All of us are allocated a certain amount of time in life, and there are opportunities that come our way. There are difficulties in life, trials that we face, disappointments, things that will shake us if we can be shaken. And the question is, how will our house stand? Will it be able to stand these storms of life? Well, these two men both built their houses. They both had time. They both had chance. And the things of life happened to them just like they do everyone. But yet, one man's house stood and the other one fell. The two builders had something very distinctly different about them. One, Jesus said, heareth my sayings and doeth them. The other one heareth and doeth not. And that is the same two categories that people are in today. There are some people that hear the word of God and they do it. And they're like the man that built his house on the rock. But then there are many other people who hear and will not do. And they're like the ones that built on the sand. These two builders had very distinctly different endings. The one house stood and the other one had a disastrous ruin of his house. Have you ever looked at people's lives and noticed that some people seem happy and successful in life? They are in a solid family unit that seems strong. Their home is something that is a good example. They are respected. And then there are other folks that just make shipwreck out of life. I'm not saying the first category of people are wealthy, or that everything goes their way, or no storms attack their house. But there is something about them, no matter what life sends their way, that there's happiness there. There's something solid, there's something about them that stays true throughout life. And then there are others that no matter how successful they are financially, no matter how good looking they are, whatever it is that they've set their hopes and dreams on, it all falls apart. It's because of two distinct decisions that they have made. One heareth my sayings and doeth them, and the other one heareth and doeth it not. I'd like to tell you about a father that had two sons, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 and 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. These two sons both had the same father. A lot of the same opportunities in life, and they were both given the same commission. But yet they had two very different results and endings. And so it is with those that will hear the word of Jesus and do it. They are like the obedient son that did the will of the father. Two sons and two distinctly different choices. Genesis 13, we read about two sojourners in life. Genesis 13, verse 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. And unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Notice something about Abram. Abram was very rich, but he also called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5, And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Both of these men were rich. Both of these men were sojourners in life. They had the opportunity to know the same God. Both Abram and Lot had opportunity to call on the Lord and offer him sacrifices. But yet they made two distinctly different choices in life. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. Well, both of them needed land too, didn't they? Time and chance happens to us all. All of us have opportunities in life. All of us have needs. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now I want you to notice a difference, another difference between these two sojourners in life. Abram chose to be a peacemaker. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Two men with the same choices in life, and made two distinctly different decisions. One chose to be a peacemaker. One chose to call on the Lord. But Lot chose to pitch his tent toward Sodom. And what happened to his house? I believe his house fell with a great ruin. All of us have similar opportunities in life to some extent. We have time. We have opportunity. The Lord deals with us all. And the question is, are we going to build our hopes on things eternal? Or are we going to choose other things in life? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can a man lay in life that will cause him to be a success, that will cause his house to stand all through life and in the day of judgment, but Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The things that we're building into our house of life, those things are going to be exposed someday. Jesus said, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. There's coming a day that people are going to be able to look in my house and in your house and see what kind of materials we've been putting in there. Let's take heed how we build on that foundation. It says, the day shall declare it, speaking of our construction materials. What day will declare it? Well, sometimes the day comes earlier than judgment day, doesn't it? The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sometimes men get uncovered before the judgment day. But even if they don't, there is coming a day that all these things will be uncovered. In that day, sinners are going to stand there. And they're going to see their house in ruin. Hypocrites will be exposed in that day. Let us take heed how we build, and let us be careful that we're building our hopes on things eternal, not on the things of this world. I want to ask you this morning, how are you building your house? What kinds of materials are you putting in your house every day? Will that house be able to withstand the shock of judgment day? That day is coming. A carpenter told his employer, a contractor, of his plans to retire. The contractor was sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter said yes, but in time it was easy to see that his heart was not in this work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end his career. When the carpenter finished his work and the builder came to inspect the house, the contractor handed the front door key to the carpenter and told him, "This is your house." He said, "My gift to you." What a shock! What a shame! If he had only known he was building his own house, he would have done it differently. But now he had to live in the home he had built none too well. How many people on Judgment Day are going to be there and realize the things that I doled out in life to other people, now I'm facing that. The things that I built into my life in the moments of my days, in the things that I allowed my heart to yearn for, the things that I sought after and made a priority in life, now I'm having to face that. And this is my house, and it's not built on the right foundation. If we are not building our home and our hopes on things eternal, the question today is, what are we building them on? We went to visit an old man in Honduras. We were worried about him. I think he had had a stroke or something. And he couldn't possibly live much longer, it seemed. I think he may have even been in his 90s, late 80s. And we asked this old man about his soul. And he said, we're not going to know about that until we get there. What are you building your hopes on today? Is it on things eternal? Do you have your house built on a solid foundation? Or are you hoping that when you get there somehow, you'll be able to get in? People are building their hopes on a lot of things in life. On their bank accounts, on their insurance policies, on the stock market. So many different things that people are building their hopes on today. And they are things that are temporal. Things that will pass away so quickly. When the floods of life come, those things don't hold people up. There are people that are basing their hopes on their good looks. How permanent is that? Let us build our hope on things eternal. There is a man, a football player, and a shampoo company was using him in advertisement because of his hair. He sported very long hair. And I guess people admired his hair. So they were using him for advertising, and then the shampoo company was counting on this man's hair so much that they insured it for $1 million. You know what's going to happen to that man's hair? It's going to lie there in the casket with him someday, if time lasts. It will be destroyed. Why build your hopes on things so temporal, things so vain, things so fleeting, when we can build our hopes on things eternal? I don't want to depend on my hair, do you? I'd rather depend on things eternal. There are people that are building their hopes on political parties. Oh, if we can just get this party in power. If we can just get my law passed. If things can somehow just go our way. Do you know how quickly all that can change? Oh, we've seen change happen so quickly in this country. And if our hopes are pinned on those things, on turning this country around, on people somehow becoming more godly and moral and caring, if we're depending on those things, you know we're in for disappointment. Why not build our hope on things eternal? There are people that are building their hopes on their own good works, hoping somehow that that will save them. And they'll come before the judgment of God and they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name done many good works? And the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. We cannot depend on our own good works, but we better be building on things eternal. We better be building on a foundation that is secure, the foundation that no other man can lay a foundation like this one. And we'd better be careful of the things that we're putting on that foundation. Modern Christianity will tell you something different. You can serve the Lord however you want to, they will tell you. You can go ahead and build on the sand. You can go ahead and live in sin more or less every day. Go ahead and do all those things, and we'll still offer you hope. We'll still offer you hope of eternal life. But they're not building on things eternal. They will tell you God's love is unconditional. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you no matter what you do. And yes, He does love you. But we're going to have to build our house on an eternal foundation. We're going to have to pay attention to the materials that we're putting in our house. We're going to have to be careful that we're obeying the Word of God, that we fear God, that we're searching our own hearts. Lord, help me. Is there anything in my life that needs to be clear that you're not pleased with, that won't stand the judgment shock? God, help me. Where are you building your hopes today? Is it on things that are eternal? They will tell you, we're all sinners. You can go ahead and sin and be a Christian, but I'd like to read the Bible. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and 12 says, Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. This seems pretty clear to me, doesn't it, you? Yet they view grace as a blanket to cover their sins and still be accepted by God. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What is our hope built on today? It is so sad that so many people are living in sin, yet building their hope that somehow they'll be saved eternally. Where is thy hope, poor sinner? What are you going to do? Hope is a God-given anchor, lavished so freely on you. If it is fixed in the Savior, if you are building your hope on eternal things, on that bright shore you will land. But if in sin you still linger, sad your end. You'll be like the man that built on the sand, and his house may have looked so beautiful. It may have been admired by many people, but oh, the destruction that comes. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He'll reap a house that is ruined and destroyed. He that sows to the flesh. Doesn't matter how good his health may be, how well his job pays, how much people admire him, if he is sowing to his flesh, he will reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. This is what we want, life everlasting. Is your hope built on things eternal today? He that plants seeds of hatred and lust and jealousy and revenge and the love of money and all of these things, works of the flesh, he that plants those seeds is going to reap a corrupt harvest. But he that serves the Lord and instead plants in his life joy and peace and love and mercy and purity and kindness and all of these things, he's going to reap life everlasting. 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Why is it that these things are the things that people are so enraptured with? Because they love the world. That's why they entertain themselves with it. That's why they model the style of their clothing and the way they carry themselves after these things, because they have the love of the world and the love of the Father is not in them. But notice this in verse 17. The flood's coming. The day is coming that the house will be tried, whether or not it's built on a sure foundation. And the world passeth away. The world passeth away. The football player's long hair isn't going to be admired someday. That's going to pass away with him. Your beautiful looks will pass away someday. Your money you're going to leave behind someday. Those addictions you will leave behind someday. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what I want. I want something eternal. I don't want to trade my eternal hope for something of this life that will pass away. Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This morning, Are you building your hopes on things eternal? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Or are you counting on the beauty of that $1 million hair that will decay in the grave? Consider the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He wanted his house to stand the shock of judgment, didn't he? He wanted eternal life. He didn't want his house to be destroyed. And he had quite a house, didn't he? The rich young man came to Jesus, and I want to use my own words here. Master, I want hope for things that are eternal. And Jesus, how can I have this hope? And again, I want to use my own words. Young man, your hope is in your own righteousness. Your hope is in your wealth and your reputation. Those are the things that you've built your house on. But I want you to start over. I want you to build your house on a real foundation so that you can build your hope on things eternal. You lack something in this foundation that you're building on. You need to be laying up treasures in heaven. And not treasures on this earth. How is it with us today? Are we laying up treasures in heaven? Do we have a hope that is beyond this life? Or is our hope only the pleasure of the next party? The excitement of what youth has to offer? Is that our hope? Those things fly away so quickly. Or are we building on an eternal foundation, on one that will withstand the judgment shock. May God help us today that we'll build our hope on eternal things. Brother Robert, could we sing those last two verses again? They say, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home and glory your enraptured soul will view. Amen.